Don't think I've ever seen the film that the of which the title has just appeared on the screen there. Denzel Washington, Kevin Klein, Penelope Wilton, if those names mean anything to you. Context of the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. So that's political liberation they're talking about. Freedom from restrictions based simply on the colour of skins, and quite right too. But what we're talking about tonight with the coming of Jesus Christ and the Bible's use of terms like liberty and freedom, that's something even more profound. You got it summed up in one verse from one of tonight's readings. When the angel visits Mary, the baby is given a name in advance. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I've been reflecting on that line a bit just recently. And a line from a modern song, which we sang here just last week, jumped out to me recently as well. I'll come to that in just a moment. This evening, I want us to, first of all, correct a couple of misunderstandings of what that freedom that Jesus came to bring is really about. I want to point us to a better and fuller understanding. So we're going to start with another classic film, and this time I'm not going to put the picture up right away. I know I've seen this one a couple of times. I would bet that most of you here have done as well. 1963, setting of the Second World War, featuring Steve McQueen, that gives it away straight away. James Garner, Richard Attenborough, Donald Pleasence, Charles Bronson, Gordon Jackson, Uncle Tom Cobley, and the whole lot. Anyone got it? And if you haven't seen it, it's on again on Friday evening. Of course, the idea being various prisoners of war all bung together into this prison camp, and they come up with various plans on how to escape. Perhaps one that comes to mind most quickly would be digging tunnels, digging escape tunnels. Is that the way to liberty? Actually, a lot of people think so. That's their answer to life. It's down to us to do something to get out of whatever predicament or fine mess we've got into. For some, the equivalent of digging tunnels is religious rituals. For others, it's thinking that we will lead a good life and hoping that our good deeds will balance out the bad ones. But that verse from Matthew's Gospel just blasts both of those notions clear out of the water. We're just totally wrong to think that we can dig our own tunnel and arrange our own escape. We can't save ourselves, we need to be saved, which is why the coming of Jesus Christ is such good news. Why? Because he will save. I think the implication clearly there must be, he must save, because we cannot save ourselves. But how, just how does that Jesus saving us work? What did he do? What kind of freedom does he offer us? Here's some of the words from that song I mentioned a moment ago. To the kisses of a friend's betrayal, he was lifted on a cruel cross. Of course, Christmas links through to Easter. They were always meant to belong together in our thinking. Of course, Christmas is a much more, well, soft focused lights and fluffy songs, and it can be softened, but crucifixion can't. That's maybe why the world really goes wild on Christmas. But Easter tends to be played down that bit more. But no, these belong together, because he was lifted on a cruel cross. That was how we are to be saved. He was suffering to save the lost. And a line a bit further in that same verse, loosing sinners from the claims of hell. And it was that claims word there that struck me, Because you know how it is when you're singing a song, and if you've sung it before a few times, many of the words actually get nicely ingrained in your memories. The trouble is sometimes they get in there wrong. The mistake that I made wasn't a huge one. I thought that when I was coming to this one, and sort of going, not totally on autopilot, but a little bit, I thought I was going to sing the word chains of hell. And you think that might fit as well. But actually, I think there's a huge difference between those two words in that context there. Let me explain what I mean. Loosing from the chains of hell isn't enough. Imagine the kind of scenario you might get in another TV or film franchise series. I suspect you know this one. Good afternoon, Mr. Briggs, or Mr. Phelps, depending on how far back you go with the original TV series. You could imagine in one of these storylines, there is somebody who is secured in some deep dungeon cell from which rescue is clearly impossible. Unless Tom Cruise is there. Unless you call in the Mission Impossible team, because of course they can arrange some kind of jailbreak. The only trouble with that is even if you get the prisoner out of the dungeon or in the castle or whatever the scenario is, you remain as fugitives. You are now all wanted. The so-called freedom that you work to achieve isn't actually that much freedom. It's seriously limited. You have to keep watching over your shoulder to see if you're still being hunted. You're free from the chains, but you're not free from the law itself. Although, of course, in those Mission Impossible stories, no one would ever have been put in prison because of something they'd actually done, because no, they'll break out people who are innocent, really. But you see where I'm getting at? So instead of thinking of the Mission Impossible jailbreak scenario, I want to take us to a courtroom scene. And the claims against us, it's not chains as in the dungeon, here are the claims, if you like, the legal ties. The claims against us are listed. First and foremost, we've ignored the God who made us. We've insisted on the right to live our lives as we desire, instead of how he has wisely said we should. It hasn't just been no room at the inn. We've given God no room in our lives. But on top of that, the list of accusations carries on and on. And on, including so many things that we've done that we have known all along to be wrong, but would never admit to a soul, perhaps not even to ourselves. But you can just imagine those sentences stacking up as each of those claims are put to the court and found to hold water, to be substantial, to be true. The fines that might accrue stack up and up and up and up. But none of us have got anything like enough money to clear all of those legal debts. But Jesus has come to loosen us from those claims. When he was suffering to save the lost, it means that if we will give up our hopeless efforts to dig ourselves out of this moral pit, he will pay all of this moral debt for us. We do not have to contribute so much as a penny. We simply have to put our trust in him instead of ourselves. We will find that he has cleared the entirety of those legal claims. We are discharged from the court, but we're not fugitives on the run. We are legally free men and women. And so, as Jesus said, if the Son, capital S, Jesus himself, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's what loosing sinners from the claims of hell is about. That is what is on offer to you here tonight. All those readings and all those carols that you've heard or been singing along to. That's what we would love to invite you to come and find out more about right now, if you want. Or to come back and hear again anytime you're able. This Christmas, anytime through 2025. Come and find that freedom that Jesus has died. Jesus has come to live in order to die, in order to loose us from those claims of hell. I'm going to suggest, before we come to our final song, we just spend a moment in prayer. I've got some written prayers that I'm going to share with you at this point. So it's a little bit more formal than sometimes we do here. And they're pitched a little bit more about Christmas Day than, okay, that's still 10 days away. But maybe they will guide our thoughts as we ask God Almighty to shine his truth into our lives this Christmas time. So let's pray, shall we? Father, on that holy night, angels and shepherds worshipped at the manger throne. Receive the worship we offer in fellowship with Mary, Joseph, and the saints through him who is your word made flesh, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved in Christ, be it this Christmas our care and delight to prepare ourselves to hear again the message of the angels, in heart and mind to go to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, and with the shepherds and the wise men adore the child lying in his mother's arms. Let us read and mark in Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God from the first days of our disobedience unto the glorious redemption brought us by this holy child. Deliver us from evil by the blessing which Christ brings, and teach us to be merry with clear hearts. May the Christmas morning make us happy to be thy children, and the Christmas evening bring us to our beds with grateful thoughts, forgiving and forgiven, for Jesus' sake. Amen.